It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Wednesday, September 22nd, 2010. I'm John Moe. It just became a lot harder to turn down a friend request on Facebook. Used to be you could click accept or ignore, yes or no, but the company quietly changed those options this week to accept or not now. And that's a pretty big step. If you choose not now, the prospective friend, or not really friend, goes into a kind of limbo. They get an up-to-date feed of all your status updates, photos, anything you do on Facebook, even though they're not really your friend. That's if you leave your privacy settings in the share with everyone position, which is the default setting. So now it's a lot more difficult to designate that somebody is not your friend. BJ Fogg runs the Persuasive Technology Lab at Stanford. He says that's Facebook's plan.
As you use Facebook, you get a sense of the culture that people are friending everybody and people are sharing everything. So they're giving the impression that it's the norm to accept friendships and to share a lot. One of the ways the interface does that is it only highlights your friends who are active. So when you go in and you log into Facebook and you see the feed, it's not telling you your 200, 300 friends who have not used Facebook in a month. It's only surfacing the friends that are the most active and the most popular things from those friends. So it's conveying the sense of everyone's doing it, social norms. It's just, you know, when we're in areas of uncertainty, we look to what people are doing around us and we do what they do.
That's BJ Fogg. So Facebook makes us accept a friend request or say, not now. But not now implies, well, eventually. And is that really friendship anymore? Clay Shirky has written extensively on the social effects of technology.
I think that the move from ignore to not now is actually part of a larger shift on Facebook's part to move away from the idea that friend automatically means two people who are connected to each other in a completely symmetrical fashion. It's plainly the case on these social networking services that the label friend no longer applies to the kind of relationships that we mean when we talk about friends in the real world. And by opening up this kind of middle category between I'm just reading your public stuff anonymously and you and I are linked because we've both said we want to be linked to each other, Facebook is essentially admitting that there is this much larger group of people who are connected to each other in kind of loose and unidirectional ways rather than it being connected in tight and symmetrical ways.
It's almost like we're becoming less of people and more of brands in this space.
Well, gosh, I mean, I don't think there are 20th century analogies that describe this circumstance well. We're in a way using a bunch of metaphors like what friends used to be like or like brands to describe a set of relationships that are really only possible in this medium.
So we're moving towards something that lacks much definition as of yet, and this change on the part of Facebook makes us move there quicker.
I think that's right. They're essentially reacting to an increase in the subtlety of the range between I'm following you in public versus you and I are linked as friends. In fact, we can pay attention to other people and they can pay attention to us in all kinds of ways, especially on these services, that don't line up with any definition of people who are friends in the real world.
We have directions on how to actually reject a friend request. Yes, it still can be done. It takes a while. That's at marketplacetech.org. Another story we're following online, Google unveiled a new site called Google Transparency Project. It reveals where and when traffic to Google sites was blocked by world governments. Also tells you which governments wanted Google to hand over information or take it off the web entirely. Producer Larissa Anderson is here.
Yeah, speaking of Google and governments, the company rolled out new online resources in time for the midterm elections.
More ways for political obsessives to spend their time.
You can see a Google map of the United States with polling data from different organizations like the Cook Political Report and the Rothenberg Political Report. They're all color-coded to see which districts are leaning red or blue.
And there's more on this site than just polls.
Right. You can report details about polling places, registration information, who to contact, and you can submit it so Google can create new ways for you to get everything you need to do to vote.
Yep. Summer officially ends tomorrow. Elections around the corner. We have links to all of this at marketplacetech.org. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.